is April.
This is Jerry Servant. Today's date is April 25th, 1975. The time is 9 a.m. I will be interviewing Edna Nuttall of Standish, Michigan. Topics to be discussed are early memories of Standish, Michigan, a discussion of the people in the area, and a description of the growth of the town. Okay, first of all, maybe we could start with just, if you remember, like maybe from your grandparents or parents talking about maybe some of the logging, the real early times in Standish. Do you have any memories on that?
Well, I don't really remember too much about the logging in Standish because we lived in a farm area and I was 5 years old in Standish. We lived in Deep River Township where my folks had a farm, and previous to my dad farming, he worked up in the Oscoda Sal area on railroads. And then he settled down here in Deep River Township and had a farm there for several years. And then we moved to town, and when we moved to town, he was employed by the county as an organic planner, which is the and he worked there all during my years that I remember growing up during high school, until I was about a junior or senior in high school. And that job ended then, and then we, with two other friends, as well as a businessman in Standish, Mr. Roy, who was the Chevrolet garage, and Mr. Lance, who was a fisherman, built the Standish Oil Company, which is a common enormous trading force. And that was done in 1930, which was kind of a nice project in those days, because if there weren't too many businesses like that, they had that, what they call the little market, and the gas station, and the restaurant. And one of the Lentz boys operated the restaurant, and the gas station and the market were operated as a business. And in the market, they would get their fish primarily through the Lentz Fisheries and that association, because he was a member of the firm. And they smoked fish and sold all kind of honey and outdoor equipment like that. Wasn't many business in the market, and was fairly lucrative because people coming up north from Detroit were just about trying to stop there, and they would stop and buy their fishing or honey equipment, whatever they wanted, and pick up a smoked fish or fresh fish, whichever they wanted, because as years went along, they got quite a reputation for the smoked fish and stuff they had. And my dad, who was, his name was John Seor, was quite well known, and people long years after he died, even, they would stop and wanted to know where old Johnson was, because he'd made so many friends over the years, and he was there from 1930 to 1939. And so that was about the only thing about the business life that I would know in Standish.
Yeah, it's something about that the trading force was like real well known, that was like like one of the big spots in northeastern
Michigan.
That's
right, it was very well known, because I think it was one of the first deals like that came up into the North Country. Yeah. And that was in 1930, and of course, you know from the size that was before they had that fire a couple of years ago, that it was quite a big complex, you know, for a small town at that time. Of course, 23, the main highway ran right smack by it.
Right.
People coming from the south, it was easy to zoom in there and get their stuff, and then, of course, when the liquor licenses came along after the prohibition repealed, when they got the liquor license, well, a lot of people, they stopped there, they could buy all their honey and fish and stuff, and their liquor, and the fish and all that sort of thing. They really had quite a good deal going there, you know.
Yeah.
And then they built a little overnight cabin in the back, and it had, I guess it would be like the first motels around here, see, but they were just, you know, what was commonly called overnight cabins at that time. But they were just bedroom and a little, I guess one thing, as I recall, had a little eating space where you could probably have a little stove and refrigerator or something that you could cook in, you know, too. And then I don't remember the bathroom facilities, but I presume maybe they used the ones that were in the gas station, because I don't think they bought, they might have had showers in there, but maybe something like that. But they were just a little overnight cabin that ran along the back where the railroad is now. They've got a warehouse or something. But that's about what I remember about. I mean, that is my most vivid memory of it, because I was involved in it.
Yeah.
So it was brother and my Howard, my brother, worked over there, and my husband Frank worked over there too, because they employed, you know, local kids like that when they were just growing up. And so that place opened up, that made, you know, another source of employment really for a town like this. There really aren't too many places for people to live like that, except in gas stations. That's where most people around here started out, you know, gas stations.
Yeah, it's along that road that, along with the trading post, there was just a fantastic one.
Stations and restaurants. And that's like Buddha's Restaurant. That was another, well, that was another place. I remember Buddha's Restaurant. When that started out, it was on Cedar Street, along there by, well, where Joe Culver's bakery is now. But a man by the name of Art Wheeler had that, and well, he built up quite a fabulous reputation for his cooking. Then as he grew, he moved his building over to the present location as now. It continued on there for several years until, oh, I don't know what year he would guide me. He operated a good many years, and it was well known. Gee, you meet anybody from Detroit even yet. Now, even this winter when I was down there, I met people who just dropped their missions and said, Wheeler's Restaurant still operating? And of course, they've always kept that name long after Mr. Wheeler was associated with it. But it had a statewide reputation, maybe even further, you know. People just, when they came up here, they stopped at Wheeler's Street because they did have good food. And that was another thing. When you got much further north of Standish in those days, it was impossible almost to find a good eating place. And people used to plan, like from Detroit up here, just to go up the right amount of time and get up here and have either your lunch or your dinner night to start later on in the day. And, of course, then after Mr. Wheeler died, I guess that would be when Mr. Major took over. And then at one time, Mr. Major and Frank's brother Ralph were owners of it. And Ralph got all Mr. Major had it. Ralph still went to Mobile and going to service next year. That was another one that you could kind of watch grow. But our main street now, compared to what it was in the old days, it certainly looks different. I think really our town here, I noticed from being in Florida, our two or three blocks of Main Street compared to the town that I spent the winter in this year. I think our streets are really a little more modern than they do down there.
Yeah.
Really.
That's the one thing. They've had a series of fires every so often that kind of burnt things out, so they had to rebuild. And a lot of towns are really old.
Now, like along at Mueller, I remember when I don't know what year that was, but the Mueller store now burned. Of course, that was a big fire, and it seemed like those big fires are always at night, you know.
Yeah.
And all that was a big old blaze. And of course, in those days, you know, I'm not a watch the fires. I don't know if people do that anymore. I don't chase fires anymore. But of course, you get up and go down. Of course, practically the whole town was burning down.
Yeah.
And that was a big, big fire. And then there was a big fire at the Baker Building. And where the dime store is now, that used to be an alley that ran through to the south. That fire, I don't know how many years different. Maybe that was all the same one, but maybe jumped across the alley. But I think it was fires, like the Mueller building that you can see that's been built recent years with the construction. Same one with the bakery. And then what Leo Pooh is, what we used to call Leo Harry Blumenthal building, a clothing store there. And they had a big fire there one time, kind of gutted that. It was a big story. It's as big as it is now. And then, of course, that little store where, that little building where Illy is, was a little grocery store. And then I kind of think that vacant lot next to it, maybe all of us could be a vacant in there. I don't remember. I was going to be a vacant next to Ireland's garage. And that was always going to be a lot of money. And then probably, if you talk to Mr. Kroger, you probably told about the name of their independent building was down there. Where Carl Horn's office is in that area. Where Dave is, in that area of the mall in there. They moved up before their present occasion. Because they've enlarged that a lot, too, because that one part where their storage space is, Minnie Outing had a restaurant. And it was a good little restaurant that was quite right along there. Of course, I'm going to feel it right along in there. And of course, because like when I was when I was a kid growing up, we'd have about it was kind of a common practice, I think, for kids to have so much money spent. And I think like we had about 25 cents a week we spent. Well, we have a tablet and a pencil probably to buy almost every week for school. And I guess you get a tablet for a nickel in those days, probably a pencil for a penny, not more than 2 cents a week. And then you always had to save a dime to go to the show on Saturday night. Saturday and Sunday, maybe a week is Saturday night, but anyway, the kids always went on Saturday night, so you always have to save a dime for that, and then a nickel, you know, maybe for ice cream and candy and stuff, so that's pretty much the amounts for a quarter, but that's what we got along. I remember talking to Jack one time about that, and the kids could hardly believe, quarter, that was your allowance for the week to buy your tablet, pencil, and stuff for school, you know.
Yeah.
But, I think about, I don't know how, for kids' entertainment and whatnot, I can remember when we lived down on the street down past the bank, the second house, Robert Reinick had bought that house, and I think, we lived there for several years. There was an old barn out in the back, and they had a couple places that were lived there originally, the stalls for horses. Of course, the one part had been remodeled to make the garage for a car because people had cars in those days. But anyway, they had kind of a loft upstairs, but gee, that used to be the theater, you know. Well, we'd go up there and we'd have these like little stalls, be like dressing rooms, you know, and put on these shows and charge like pins and odds and ends and things like that. That would be admission for the kids on the neighborhood. And everybody would line in the act and run into place for kids to dress up. Wild cucumber vines, and those would wrap around us and dress up in all kinds of old towels and blankets and stuff like that. I was looking Indians and stuff like that, so I think maybe that's one of the stories we were reading somewhat in those days, you know. But it was fun, but I think kids made their own fun an awful lot. They didn't have to have an awful lot to get by. There always were quite a few kids, like on that street. Gee, we must have had 20 or so kids, you know, in the age group that would be interested in doing that thing. Of course, there'd be some little ones and some big ones, but he kind of kept doing it, kept going at that sort of thing when they were 14 years old, you know, really. He did not grow it, so I mean, 13 or 14, anyway, till I suppose you got high school, so like 10th grade, and then you started looking down on those things, but all the time you're loving. Up until you started high school, you're interested in those things. But, I didn't know, it used to be fun and everybody. And then I can remember the sidewalks, the kids. I'd draw my hopscotch in those games where you jump and throw things. Or else you just have to hop along on those things and not get out of marks. I don't know whether you ever played those kind of games or not. That's the way we used to do. And when I was about in the 7th grade, we bought a cottage on the Sand Lake. And of course, that used to be great fun. We'd go up there. The schools, I'll be up to the cottage. My dad was working with the county at that time, and he kind of ended his work at the end of the line up there at Asheville County, because that was in Asheville County. And then he'd come out there, maybe not every night, but he would be there, you know, a couple nights a week and a couple weekends. And we'd walk from the lake out to that little store at the, I don't know what they call it, maybe it's McIver Corner, I don't know. It's not in McIver, you probably know where I mean. We rode the Sand Lake up to, what is it, 65 now, probably. Anyway, it was about 3 miles out there. We'd walk off that, invariably, we'd walk off to that road every day, because then when we piled into the car, probably 3 or 4 of us, because some of the kids would be too little to walk. Probably Chet Mile, there'd be about 4 of us, 3 or 4 of us walk off there. We'd get to drive the car back. Of course, you didn't have to drive because all it did stay in those sand ruts because it wasn't any road. It was just those, you know, sand trails. Maybe you put your car on that and you don't drive very fast. You can't stand that traffic out there. But that used to be. Then we used to go wandering through the woods and all up the trunks and things and up there. Row up and down the shore of Sand Lake, you know, keep stopping and picking up pastures and going on down like that. not her own family or any other kids around, that we could have fun. We had the swings and stuff out, and that wasn't really our, well, we called it our front yard because there weren't any other cottage stuff that didn't belong to us. It was really on somebody else's property, but people didn't pay too much attention to things like that on those days. But we have one of these posts, a long plank, and then two people get on each end and one get in the middle and push that thing around and go whirling around like that, like a hooligan thing. And that was part of our fun. But I spent, of course, most of my time, I have a bike ride, and I always like the water, like the mountains, so I get, but like, times up in the morning, if you go to bed at night almost, it seemed like you were in the water most times. It was a shallow lake, and you didn't really have to worry about it. It was fun. But it's a different way of life. I don't remember that, no. I remember hearing talk about it, but I believe it must have been, I wonder if it wasn't over there where that Mr. Campbell, Johnny Johnson, had that gas station.
He said it was down like towards the trading post.
Yeah, across the road, yeah. I think, where the trading post was built, there was a, it was like an old, I don't know if you call it mill or not, but it was called Nora's Mill. Well, I think something about Nora's anyway. And it was a big old building there, and then they had a skating rink in it one time. But I think originally it was some kind of a warehouse, some kind of a storage building for grain and stuff, because Nora's had a mill. I think they had it for storage of their grain and probably feed and sold it there, like Sam's Milling does now. But that was on the corner of the trade post. I don't know about that opera house. Of course, down there where that building that burned on Main Street, the old KC Hall building, was the theater for a good many years after the fact that he left the piece that had been KC Hall there.
Movie theater.
Pardon?
Movies.
Movie theater.
Movies.
Because at one time we had that theater and then we had the other theater too. And that, I think there's some people by the name of Burge. Really, it was, because I think probably those buildings are pretty old. I think any time anything got started there, that timber never knew was so dry, you say. That was a wooden building when I just went in.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, probably Ed mentioned to me about the two schools. We had a high school, which is the elementary building now, and then the KC Hall is now down west of town. That we used to call it the little school. You know where I mean? Down toward the hospital. There's a white building on this side. It's a block before you get to the Catholic Church. There's a white building. I think it's white now. Anyway, it's a wooden building on this side. It's a KC Hall now. But that used to be what we called the little school. And they taught kindergarten and first grade, I think. And then they had like third and fifth grade. And then one year they had the third and fifth grade. And then one year they had the fourth and sixth grade. But primarily to start with, I think the kids on that side of the track, the railroad track, was kind of divided. And I went to that school for kindergarten and first grade, and the other ones out here, so they wouldn't have to cross the main highway. Actually, they talked about traffic in those days, you know, just there now.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's where they started out, and then it turned out that it was kind of a, I think first, but just for those classes like that, people live on that side. And then two people that lived in the country, they could come here to school. If it was closer to come here than to go to their own district, they could come here, I guess, to see. Because, you know, somebody living on maybe a half mile out of town, but maybe he lived in the township, they'd have to go maybe 2 or 3 miles to school and come here. And I think they had some kind of deal with the board that they would pay the tuition. And that went on the same way in high school.
Yeah.
Kids in the towns and the towns were paid their tuition. This was just they made that into the internet cloning normal building. And there's still a training class there. No, I think I'm wrong in saying that they had the third, fifth, fourth, and sixth. In the beginning, I think they had maybe first, second, maybe up to the fourth and fifth grade there before they went to Stanley's High School. And then I think when it got to be the county normal building, then is when they had the third and the fifth grade for the practice teaching for the students in county normal. And one year they had the third and the fifth grade, and the next year they had the fourth and sixth. But it was mostly the kids that I think that went there to school were those that lived on that side of the track. If you lived on that side of the track in the third grade, you go down there to school. And the next year you probably go there 2 years, because the next year you get the fourth grade, you go there again. But then Miss Herman, she was from Auburn, she was here for many years. She was the principal of the Aranet County Normal, and I think Miss Marley was more like the critic. But anyway, they worked together to go and operate that.
What kind of school was it?
It was a back. Oh, I don't know I don't want to disband it, but anyway, when you got out of high school, you had to have a high school education when you're at County Normal. And you could go there, and you would be allowed so many credits, what we call them, just come out and some kind of credits, toward the school. It wasn't a full year, but I think by going to County Normal and one summer school, it would be the same as going to college there, your first year of college. Then you were ready, then you could go on if you wanted to go on, you could, but at that time, you could go to County Normal, and then by taking these extra classes in the summer, you were eligible to teach in a country school. Not a standard school, but I mean, here that you can teach out of your country school.
Get a qualifying on that year that you're in country school.
Yeah. And at that time, you see, they had all these schools out in the elementary school up the 8th grade, most of them. A lot of times, there'd be two rooms, some of them, one room, depending on what the population of the area was. But sometimes the teacher would go up there and teach all the 8th grade. Large area, they would have either a school for like probably 1 through 5, and I think 6, 7, 8 was in the other. But that was in the 6, 7, 8 in the other room. But sometimes, a good many of the county schools in there, they would teach, a teacher would teach from the beginning to the 8th grade. Of course, a lot of times I think they had, I didn't go to that, ever go to that kind of school because I was 5 years. But it used to be kind of fun when we'd have a day off of school. We'd go out and visit the schools up there. We'd walk out there, walk to work or something like that, 5 miles from the school up there, just to see what's going on, or just to probably something to do. Seems kind of weird to you, probably.
What do you remember about the railroad?
I don't remember much about it at all, because that was when my dad and mother first married, and I have, two sisters and a brother older than I. And it was long before I remember, but it was up in Osceola and Mesaba, and they were building the railroad. That's more like the P&M.
He was working building
the railroad. Then I think when he came down here, I think when we first moved down to Stanley's after he gave that up for whatever reason, which is firing. Then I think kind of on the side, he was like building roads or something like that. And that's how I think probably one way that he got into this building again, and kind of built here or something like that, because he was building roads like that. And how to
do it, that's what it's like. Do you remember, like, when he was working on the road commission, like exactly what he had to do? Did you ever watch him work on the road?
No, I don't ever remember that, but I know that it's much like it is now. They had all the roads to be built. They had to build roads. And now I know that road up there at that Rifle River Hill up at Sterling. You know, those roads were built, and some of those. And I know that my brother Howard, when he was growing up, during the summertime, he would work with my dad, like painting these guardrails and stuff like that on the roads. And they would go. Well, they'd have to build these roads and like that. But I'm thinking of a time before he was that, that he used to go, he'd be gone, different lengths of time, but maybe he'd be working up on World Food or something like that, building gold or something. But in those days, you know, you didn't have to have all the degrees in engineering and everything. They just kind of built, well, experience, I suppose, really, get those started. But when he was on the road commission, I mean, all the same thing, you know, just keeping up the roads, building the new roads, and stuff like that. But I kind of remember a couple of times when, like, the school of the year when the floods were bad or not operated or something, you know. Could be worried because it would be cold because the government commission never moved, you know, and they have to keep the roads washing out, the roads washing out. And it was, I suppose, always a problem or something like that. That's about really all I remember about as far as the work, this part of the work commission. But I know that we were building that sort of thing.
You know, like when it was building, like, did they have power-driven vehicles, or did they work like the forces?
I don't really know. I would probably imagine a lot of it was done, well, I'm sure that a lot of it was done with horses, because when I think about the first job I had, when I was working out to, when I was a senior in high school, before I graduated, Mr. Palmer, who was wondered if I wanted to work down for the Chevrolet garage. And so I went to a fair school on Saturdays before I graduated from high school. And then after that, I moved on there working for the summer. And the next year, well, then things were a little slack, and I started getting just after work or something on Saturdays. So then, in the year of 1931, I decided I'd go to Point Normal. My day, and a lot of girls, that's just kind of field girls, like sports or anything. So anyway, I went to my norm, I kept on working there Saturdays, and then along came about, I graduated from '32, didn't care about teaching at all, but then I went to my norm, I don't know why I wouldn't ever want to be a teacher, ever. There were many kids left, kids didn't have the disposition for it at all. But anyway, I put in my year, I don't know why I still worked on cars on Saturdays or anything. And then they started this, Debbie Faber or something. And so Mr. Bernthal, who was the original owner of the theaters, he was on that board. He came to me and he was on that board. I don't know if it was called the Belfry, but I don't know what he was on that board. But anyway, I went up there to work with them. There was another girl from the other, Shannon. Last White from Sterling, the three girls working in the office. And I know in those days with WK, we'd have bigger payroll. So we'd figure so much for the man, so much for his team. We used that, or then I think later on there were trucks that